This is part two, Uttani Kadasi 2009. Mathura Mahatmya by Rupa Goswami glorifying this brat. Ekai vai Kadasi Krishna Janma Gehe Krita Nare Tato Adikam Prakartavyam Loke Kinchin Navidyate. In the Padma Purana it says, if anyone has once observed the vow of Uttana Kadasi and Mathura Mandala, he has no other duties to perform. Ratra Jagaranam Tatra Pritya Kuravanti Te Naraha Samsara Moha Swapnante Sada Jagrati Jagrati. Those who joyfully remain awake, those who joyfully remain awake on the night of Uttana Kadasi and Rajamandal finish their illusory sleep in the form of material existence, and as such they always remain awake. Harivo. So this Jagran, Jagran means to stay up, Jagran, to stay up all night. If you stay up all night tonight, you'll never sleep for the rest of your life. You'll be awake in spiritual consciousness. You won't be sleeping in the slumber of ignorance or illusion or forgetfulness of Krishna. Anyatrapi priya vishnor jagare syat prabodhani kim punar matarayam sa tato ve janmat sadmini. By observing Uttana Kadasi, by fasting and keeping awake elsewhere outside of Mathura Mandala, one achieves punya. But what can be said about the piety that one achieves by observing Ekadasi and Mathura? This is a nice thing. Suptotitam harim dristva maturayam basundare matasya punaravritir jayate sa chaturbhuja. Anyone who takes darshan of Krishna when he wakes up from sleep in Rajamandal does not return to the material world, but he attains a four-handed form and goes to the spiritual world. Or two-handed, if you want. Natva stutva chasampujyo deva deva janardana prabodhinyam yata pritas tata pritas tato bhavat. As Krishna becomes very pleased if one offers him obeisances, prayers, and worship on the day of Uttana Kadasi, the Lord similarly becomes very pleased if one offers obeisances, prayers, and worship at Sri Radhakund. Sri Radhakund ki jai. There's something here about Bijam Panchak also. This is from Padma Puran. Twaya krite vrite paschat kasyast kasyate Bijam Panchakam ye tatra janma bhuma me karishyanti mahavratam maturayam tugangeya tesham bhakti kare stita. After you observe this vow, it will be known. This is Krishna's glorifying Bhishma Panchaka vow before Bhishma. Apparently, Krishna gave this vow to Bhishma. After you observe this vow, it will be known, renowned as Bhishma Panchaka. Those who observe this great vow at my birthplace in Mathura will easily obtain devotional service. And Mathura, of course, also includes Vrindavan. And I award them whatever they want, up to the extent of liberation. Brahmalokas tataskayam, tatakshayam, tatashayam, yoga siddhim cha muktim cha, prito yachami sarvashaha. The Krishna becomes very happy. Oh, there's more. Oh, this is all about this vow. Durlabo bhakti yogo me mama vashya vidayaka kartike maturayam cha vratena anena labhyate. Bhakti, devotional service to me by which one can control me, is very difficult to attain. But if a person follows the vow of Bhishma Panchak in the month of Kartik in Mathura or Vrindavan, he can also attain that difficult to attain devotion to me. sarvavishta pradam proktam mature bijam panchakam. Observance of the vow of bijam panchaka in Mathura fulfills all one's desires. There we go. So these are some glories of bijam panchakam. Now we'll hear something from Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is from the tenth canto, volume 1. I'm going to read about Shakatasura. Krishna says in the general index about Shakatasura, Krishna kicks down Shakatasura, 395-399. That's nice. Krishna kicks down. Because it appears that Krishna observed this festival today. This is in chapter 7. And we were told in Padma Puran that one should, on this day, should hear the glories of Krishna's Balya Leela. Nasha Preshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavaditama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatojam Vadirayat. Please repeat after me. Sri Shukavacha Kadachit Otanika Kotuka Plave Janmarkshayoge samaveta yoshitam Vaditra gita dvija mantra vachakesh Chakara sunora vishechanam sati Kadachirauta nika kotuka plave Janmarkshayoge samaveta yoshitam Vaditra gita dvija mantra vachakesh Chakara sunora vishechanam sati Kadachidottanika kotukaplave Janmarkshayoge samaveta yoshitam Padichagita dvijamantra vachakesh Chakara sunora vishechanam sati. We understand that this festival, this Leela, and this festival which was observed by Mother Yashoda occurred on this very day, Uttani Kadasi. As the demigods got up, well, so did Krishna. Krishna got off his belly. A baby's on his belly for the first 4 or 5 months and he rolls over. That's a form of getting up. You may be on your belly before you get out of bed, right? Some people sleep like that. Word for word. Kadachit.
Kadachit.
At that time.
At that time.
Uttanika.
Uttanika.
Sound familiar? Kotuka.
Kotuka.
Aplave.
Aplave.
When Krishna was when Krishna was 3 or 4 months old and his body was developing, he attempted to turn around. And this pleasing occasion was observed with a festival and a bathing ceremony. So 3-4 months. It's also told in Padma Puran that certain exalted individuals, they mature at a rate 1.5 times normal people. Therefore, when we say that Krishna was 8 years old in the Maharas dance, he was 8 plus 1.5. So 8.5 is, he was like 12 or whatever, right? 8 plus 4 is 12. So he's 12, 13, young boy, young man. Of course, Krishna lived, or let's say he manifested pastimes in Vrindavan up until the age of 10 years and 6 months. So then again, he used a formula of 1.5, so he was 15, Navakishore. So that's a very appropriate age, young age. He was 15 years, 9 months, and 7.5 days, to be exact. Similarly, generally people say that babies, they're on their belly until 4 months. Well, that's what it's saying here. When Krishna was three or four months old, and his body was developing, Uttanika. A Krishna is born in August, right? So August to September is 1 month. September to October is another month. October to November, so that's 3 months. So this is like November. So right around this time, as I said, Krishna matures at a rate 1.5 times faster than any normal person. So this seems very clear to me. This Uttan festival, the demigods are waking up after Chaturmasya, is, if we trace it to Krishna Leela, then we find a Krishna Leela being celebrated on this very tithi of Uttan Ekadasi. Of course, Krishna was not sleeping for 4 months during his Braj Leela. He was very, very active. Ashtakali Leela, Chobis Ganta, activity, 24 hours a day. He's engaged in some pastimes. But this is very wonderful, to meditate on Krishna at all times, especially at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. Once you remember Narayana or Sri Krishna at the time of death, at the time of living, at the time of breathing, at the time of speaking, the time of eating, the time of sleeping, the time of walking, the time of working. At all times, one should remember Krishna. And the easiest way to remember Krishna is to chant his holy name. We have a simple formula to measure whether you're Krishna conscious or not. It's very simple. Is the holy name of Krishna passing between your lips? If it is, you're Krishna conscious. If it's not, you're in Maya. It's about this easy. As soon as you stop chanting, then, oh, how's your baby? How's your husband? This, that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And check yourself. Just see yourself. As you pass one day and use this standard of measurement. When you're chanting Krishna's name, it's a good chance you're Krishna conscious. There's some chance. You can also space out while chanting Krishna's name. At least you're trying. At least some part of you is Krishna conscious. At least some part of you is serving Krishna. You may be spacing out mentally in vikshepa and distraction and inattention. So your mind is in Maya, but at least your tongue is engaged in Krishna's service. And the tongue is vibrating Krishna's name, Hare Krishna. And the ears on some level are hearing Krishna's name, although maybe inattentively. So some part of our existence is actually engaged in Krishna's service when we're chanting. When we're not chanting, then it's just planning to eat, planning to sleep, planning to mate, or talking some nonsense. Money, where's the money? Where's the clothes? This, that. What's he doing? What's she doing? Have you seen him? Have you seen her? Isn't it? Because basically, we're pretty mundane individuals. We're not very transcendental. And we don't have any attraction to the holy name. So then the question arises, how do we develop attraction to the holy name? By constantly praying for the mercy of Nittai Gaur. Nittai Gaur, they have come to give attraction. They have come to give the name and to give attraction. Krishna Chaitanya has come to give the name, and Nityananda has come to give attraction to the name. Very nice combination, Nittai Gaur. Krishna has come to give the Maha Mantra. Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishna Prema is achieved by chanting the Maha Mantra. But we have no attraction to the holy name. So how do we develop attraction? By the mercy of Nityananda. Vishaya Chariya, that Shudanam comes by the mercy of Nityananda. Nittai Gaur, Nittai Gaur, Nittai Gaur, Nittai Gaur. Lord Chaitanya wanted to distribute the holy name of Krishna, and he actively tried to distribute Krishna's name everywhere. Yari Dege Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Wherever Lord Chaitanya went, whoever he met, he told him about Krishna and engaged him in chanting Krishna's name. And he told Nityananda to do the same. go and broadcast my holy name, Hare Krishna. Don't come to Puri every year for Chaturmasya, but stay in Navadvip in Bengal, because I've left there. I was there for 24 years, but now I'm going deep into my own ecstasies to relish what I've come to taste, the swadana, the rasa swadana, to taste the relish of Radharani's love and experience the happiness she experiences by serving me, and understand that the Radha Pranaya Mahima, what are the glories, and fantastic, inestimable, unfathomable glories of Radharani's Pranaya, her intense love. I have come to understand and learn and experience and taste this. So I have my own personal matters, my internal antarkarana, the internal causes for my advent. And these I will explore and experience in the association of Lita and Vishakha in the confines of the Gambhira, deepest, darkest, inaccessible Leela. Not accessible to anyone but my most confidential Sakhis, or Radha's most confidential Sakhis, who will be advising me and teaching me about Radha's Bhav, Mahabhav, Mananakya Mahabhav. So Nitai, I want you to stay in Bengal. You have to do the prachar work, the Yare Dege Tarika, Krishna Upadesh. You go and you broadcast my name and engage people in serving and worshipping Krishna. So what did Nitai do? He said, yes, yes, my lord, I will do that. So Nitai took Haridas, the servant of Hari. He took the Namacharya. Because Mahaprabhu told Nitai to go and preach door to door, preach the holy name, tell everybody about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. And so he enlisted the help of Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, 3 lakhs a day, 12 hours every day, 12 hours a day. He was chanting. 3 lakhs takes 12 hours. He was chanting 16 rounds an hour. So 16 rounds an hour times 12 hours is 192. So he's chanting 12 hours a day and sleeping something and eating something. He was a normal, not so normal, but he wasn't chanting. Like if we chant 3 lakhs, it'll take 3 weeks or 3 days or so long time. 12 days. So he took Haridas Thakur, and then Nitai went door to door and he chanted. Then he said, although Lord Chaitanya gave the agya, Yare dehi tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agya, amara agya. Amara agya means my order. Nitai, my order is this. Preach my glories, preach Krishna's glories. Engage people in the worship of Krishna and the chanting of Krishna's name. Nitai said, yes, my lord. Yes, Prabhu, I will do that. I will carry out your order. And Nitai and Haridas went to the doors, door after door after door, door to door, Sankirtan, knocked on the doors, and the people opened the door. And then Nitai would say, Baja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Loha Gauranga Namare. He'd say, worship, just worship Gauranga. Take the name of Gauranga, chant the name of Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Loha Gauranga, Baja Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. So this combination, Nitai Gaur, Gauranga gives the name of Krishna, but Nitai distributes, he gives the attraction to the name by distributing the name of Gauranga. We chant Gauranga, 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 and then we get attraction to Krishna's name. Nitai distributes the attraction to the holy name, and Gaur distributes the holy name. We don't have attraction. We have attraction to gossip, prajalpa, gramya katha, sports, cricket, family, relatives, relative programs. So many relative programs. Oh, let me tell you about my relative program. Oh, let me tell you about my relative program. What about the absolute program? What about the absolutes? Let's talk about the absolutes. A devotee should be doing either reading about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, or hearing about Krishna. This is our activities. I see sometimes devotees gather, what to do? Oh, let's talk. Like one occasion, some devotees were sitting, and I said, why don't you read something, and then you read something about Krishna's pastimes. I have to take a bath. So I took a bath. But then I was in dressing and I heard no more readings going on. Everyone's in, all reading stopped. Order of Guru stopped. And all, I don't know what was going on. Some chit-chat, this, that, ha-ha, hee-hee. Ho-ho. No attraction for Shastra. No attraction for Hari Katha. Automatic, instant, spontaneous attraction for hee-hee, ha-ha, hoo-hoo. But the point we should understand is that, Guruji, he left in order we should read this Shastra. Oh, so now there were two of us and we were reading nicely. Then the third person came. Oh, now it's your turn. Everything should be centered around the order of Guru. Guru Mukha Padmavakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. How will my consciousness become purified without the order of Guru? By my own design? By my own arrangement? By my cleverness in Prajalpa? My consciousness will become purified? No. By my submission to the order of the Guru, my consciousness will become purified. By my attraction and attachment to Hari Katha, my consciousness will become purified. When devotees come together, they should hear about Krishna, speak about Krishna, chant about Krishna. Isn't that correct? So we're all together. And we're here for Bhisham Panchami, 5 days together. Every moment should be spent chanting the holy name or hearing about Krishna. We came back from Harinam. We're tired. Okay, let's sit down. Boom. Then what to talk about? Oh, here. So everyone just looking at each other. Oh, we'll read. So I took out a book. Read about Krishna's pastimes. No ruchi. No taste. Book closes. Boom. If there's one or two devotees, that's why Chanaka Pandit says, Niti Shastra, austerity should be performed alone. A-L-O-N-E. Like the story of the two bangles. The lady with the two bangles, they were making noise and then she separated them. There's a story in Puran. She had two bangles, a ting, ching, ching. So she separated two bangles and don't make any more noise, one on one wrist, one on the other. So this is the Bhisham Panchaka Brat. That's Uttana Ekadasi Brat. Best to be done alone. Many times we've done alone, only the last couple of years or some others. When many get together, then many becomes like, it should be churning the ocean of Harikata, not the ocean of Gramyakata. Hee hee ha ha hoo hoo. This is the point. This is such a special day. Uttanika Kotuka Aplave. When Krishna was 3 or 4 months old, so we said that. Now, Janmarksha, please repeat. Janmarksha. This is Janma Riksha Yogi. At that time, there was also a conjunction of the moon with the auspicious constellation Rohini at that particular time. Janmarksha Yogi. That was the same. What is this Rohini constellation? It's the same constellation of Krishna's birth. Remember? Janam Nakshatra. Samaveta Yoshitam.
Samaveta Yoshitam.
A ceremony was observed among the assembled women. And then it says, a ceremony of mothers. Because Yoshit means ladies. And Samaveta, Bhaktavrinda Ki.
Jai.
Samaveta means a group, a gathering. It was a ladies' function. Ladies and the kids. So all the ladies should be attentive. This Uttana Ekadasi is a ladies' festival. Ladies and the kids. All the mothers were invited to celebrate my little baby's function. Oh, it's so wonderful. Obviously the coward men could care less. Oh, he rolled over on his back. Oh, great. Big deal. But it is the mother is like, she's all excited about it because the husband doesn't know whether the baby's on his back or head or tail. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know that for 3 months he's lying on his belly. He doesn't know. He just hears, wow, 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 wow. Can't sleep. Feed this kid. Shut up, the kid. You know, this. It's just a big disturbance, whether belly or back. It's who knows what. But for the mother, no, look, look, look. He rolled over. So what? Big deal. But no, you don't understand. For 3 months, he's just been ga-ga-ga like a cockroach on the floor. Upside down cockroach. Can't flip over. Sometimes a cockroach rolls over his roach. his coach, and his legs are kicking in the air, and he can't flip over. And Vaditra Gita. Gitavad. There were different varieties of music and singing. Dvija Mantra Vachake. The qualified Brahmins were chanting Vedic hymns. Chakara executed. Suno, her son. Abhishechanam, bathing ceremony. Sati, Mother Yashoda. Translation. Shukadev said, when Mother Yashoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, basically means like that, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. Such a ceremony is called Uttana. This is called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time. The child is properly bathed. So once he gets up off his, once he's on his belly, once he gets on his, off his belly, then he starts crawling, right? You know, on your belly, or whatever. What is, he's on his belly? What is he on his belly? And he gets on his back. Okay, he's flipping over festival. So it's not clear whether, but at the same time, 3 or 4 months after his birth, and it's Uttana Ekadasi. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yashoda celebrated the ceremony with other women in the neighborhood. It was a Rohini Nakshatra. Brahmanas chanted Vedic hymns and professional musicians took part. A great ceremony was observed. Let's read the story. Andasya patni krita majanadikam vipre krita swastyayanam supujite anadyavasa shagabhishtadenubi Sanjata Nidraksham Ashisha Yachchane. After completing Krishna's bath, Mother Yashoda received brahmanas, offering them proper respect and giving them food grains and other edibles, clothing, desirable cows, and garlands. The brahmanas properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony, and when they finished, Mother Yashoda saw the child was very sleepy. So she laid it down on a bed with the child until he peacefully fell asleep. It's interesting that all these Vedic hymns put Krishna to sleep. We never hear about Krishna sleeping when the gopis are rebuking him. He's wide awake when the gopis are calling him Lampat and Durt. You Durt, Lampat, Kapat. You cheater, you rascal, you wretch, you dirt, lumpat, dirt. Krishna felt sleepy after hearing all these Vedic hymns. These Vedic hymns are very boring to Vrijvasis. Text 6. Autani kotsukya mana manaswini Samagatan pujayati brachokasaha Naivashinodvai ruritam sutasya sa Rudan sana stanarti chananavu dakshipat. The liberal Mother Yashoda was a very busy celebrating the Uttana ceremony of her child. She was receiving guests and worshipping them with all respect and offering them clothing, cows, garlands, and grains. She could not hear that her child was crying for her. He was demanding to drink her milk, and he angrily threw his legs upwards. Purport. Krishna had been placed under a household handcart, maybe a bale gadi. Bullock cart. But this hand cart was actually another form of a demon named Shakatasura, who came there to kill the child. Now, on a plea of sucking his mother's breast, Krishna took the opportunity to kill the demon. Thus he kicked Shakatasura to expose him. Although Krishna's mother was engaged in receiving guests, Krishna wanted to draw her attention by killing Shakatasura. Therefore, he killed the cart-shaped demon. Such are the pastimes of Krishna. He wanted to draw the attention of his mother, but while doing so, he created a great havoc, not understandable by ordinary persons. This is a very common practice. As any mother knows, children are always trying to get attention. They throw things and break things and cry and do all kinds of antics to get the mother's attention. As soon as she's inattentive for a second, if she pays attention to another child or to anybody else, babies are really egoistic. They're already asserting their false egos from day one. Everyone says, "Oh, Junior's so cute. Oh, poo, 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 cute." Actually, they're a gross exhibition of the false ego. Any philosopher can easily see it. They demand attention because that's ego. I am the center. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am the proprietor. I am the owner. I am the center. Aham amati. Aham, I and mine. So it's not that all when you're 10 years old, ego drops out of the sky and goes inside your motherboard. You have no software until you're 10 years old. You're born. We're born with ego, false ego, and purva karmas and sanskaras and desire, icha dvesha tamutena. So little, cute little junior, that's just a little 5-kilo unit of false ego. And it simply expands and becomes a 50-kilo unit of false ego, or 85 or whatever this unit is over here. 87 maybe. What is it?
Yeah,
85. 85-kilo unit of false ego. But the moment he looks at him and says, "Oh, you're so cute, coo-coo-coo, poo-poo-poo." Yeah. You look like your mother, look like your father. No one pinches your cheek. Yeah. But this little 3-year-old or little 1-year-old kid, everyone pays so much attention and goes upside down, inside out about. It's simply just acting on the false ego, totally on the false ego. They're so envious. If you're actually objective, parents are completely blind. Love makes them totally blind. But the babies, if you just look at, study the nature of a child, every baby, they're totally operating on the false ego. Of course, all the parents in the audience feel extremely offended by this. But it's a philosophical truth. It's an axiomatic truth. It's an inarguable fact. And that's the whole thing. As soon as a mother looks just to the left or looks a little second away from the child, me. That's what they're saying. They're crying. It's me. Is I, me, mine, isn't it? This is the realization I got, how conditioned that jiva is from day one. As soon as he opens his little eyes in this material world, he's totally conditioned soul. Totally one new unit of ego, one more false ego contributing to the landscape. So Krishna's the same way. He wants attention. His mother was ignoring him, busy with the guests, taking care of the guests, observing his ceremony for his benefit. But there's so much other things, extraneous activities to create auspicity, Vedic hymns and so many ladies coming with gifts and receiving gifts and giving gifts, coming to bless the child. It's all important part of the function, Autanika Utsav. But the main thing is Krishna happy? Whatever the function is, whatever the activity is Krishna happy? And Krishna wasn't happy. So much chanting and so much guests and so much fanfare and yogis. What's the bottom line? He's crying. He's crying. Because he was ignored. His mother was not paying attention. This is Nara Lila, human-like pastimes of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. Can you imagine? This is Bhagavan. This is Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigra Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. This is the cause of all causes, supreme controller, Parameshvara. Ishvasyam idam sarvam yat kinchat jagatam jagat tenati tena bunjita madhkasyat kasyaskudanam. He's controlling and owning everything. No blade of grass moves without his will, and here he's crying. Why are you ignoring me? Why are you not paying attention to me? But this is Leela. These narrations are wonderfully enjoyable. And those who are fortunate are struck with wonder upon hearing the extraordinary activities of the Lord. Although the less intelligent regard them as mythological, because a dull brain cannot understand them, they are real facts. The narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Pariksit and Shukadev took pleasure in them, and other liberated persons following their footsteps become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of Lord Sri Krishna. Vidvastanana rasakupa bhajanam vyatyasta chakraksha vibhinna kubaram. Lord Sri Krishna was lying underneath the handcart in one corner of the courtyard. Although his little legs were as soft as leaves, when Krishna struck the cart with his soft legs, the cart turned over violently and collapsed. Boom! The wheels separated from the axle. It snapped the wheels right off the axle. The hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On the cart there were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered hither and thither. Vishnath Chakravarti says, when Krishna was a very tender age, his hands and legs resembled soft new leaves. Yet simply by touching the handcart with his legs, the cart fell to pieces. It was quite possible for him to act in this way and yet not exert himself very much. The Lord in his Vaman avatar had to extend his foot to the greatest height to penetrate the covering of the universe. And when the Lord killed the gigantic demon Hiranyakashipu, he had to assume a special bodily feature of Nrisimhadev. But in his Krishna avatar, the Lord did not need to exert such energy. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna, therefore, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. In other incarnations, the Lord had to exert some energy according to the time and circumstances. But in this form of Krishna, He exhibited unlimited potency. Thus the handcart and its axles, joints, everything, all the metal pots, everything scattered and broke. Although the handcart was higher than the child, the child could easily touch the wheel of the cart, and this was sufficient to send the demon down to the earth. The Lord simultaneously pushed the demon to the earth and superficially broke the handcart. We can consult a commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sarita Darshini. Vishnu Chakravarti says in verse 1, the village ladies swelled with joy when baby Krishna first rolled over. Autonic. So he rolled over. After being honored by gifts of rice and cloth and money, the Brahmins performed auspicious birth rites. Because Krishna had sleepy eyes, he was put to rest. For fear that Krishna might wake up, Yashoda held him in her lap without moving. Then she lay down with her beloved son on a cart, under a cart, situated in a spacious courtyard. Understanding that Krishna was fast asleep, Yashoda got up very slowly and carefully. So it says cot, that means charpai. You've seen in these villages charpai? Charpai means four legs. I think so. I believe so. So this cart was higher than a charpai, not much I suppose, but Yashoda was lying on the charpai underneath the cart. Yashoda was busy exchanging pleasantries and giving ornaments, garlands, chandan oil, and sindoor to the village ladies who had assembled for the festival. She did not hear Krishna crying from hunger. Upon his waking, he was when he woke up, in anger, Krishna kicked his legs upward while thinking. This is what I like about Vishnu Chakravarti. He shows us what Krishna is thinking and what the associates are thinking. It takes one to know one, so he's a Manjari, Vinod Valery Manjari. So he's able to bring us into this. He's able to bring us into the hearts and minds of Krishna's associates. Somehow Vishnath is able to tell us exactly what Krishna's thinking. In other words, Krishna was sleeping on the charpai. The Mother Yashoda left him there sleeping and went to attend to the guests at the Uttan festival. Then Krishna woke up. When he woke up, as babies usually do, they're either sleeping or eating. So when he wake up, he wanted to eat. He wanted to suck her breast, feed her milk, her breast milk. And she wasn't there. So then he became angry. So then Krishna was thinking, well, Mother, since you cannot hear my crying, maybe the sound of this cart breaking to pieces will catch your attention. This is wonderful. We don't see this in the Bhagavatam verses of Shukadeva or Vyasadeva. Vishnath has that inner access to bring out the very sweetest aspects of the hearts and minds of Krishna's Nitya Parishads. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ki.
Jai.
Okay, Mom. Since you can't hear me crying, how about this firecracker? Boom! The kid crawls in the gets out a cracker and lights off a cracker. Wow! And then you see how the mother runs for the baby. Or he goes over and he sees if it's in America where every house has a few guns hanging on the wall. The baby crawls over to the bed and stands on the bed and there's some shotgun behind the bed hanging on the wall. He pulls the trigger. Boom! Maybe he'll hear this and blow up a gun in the house. This is very nice. The cart was struck by the soft lotus feet of Krishna as if with very little force. To break the cart, Krishna did not extend his foot high upward like Vamana in breaking the shell of the universe. Nor did Krishna's feet become hard like Narasimha's nails to tear apart. It's interesting. This is a little different than what VVT was reading. Krishna didn't extend it. He didn't have to extend his foot up high like Vamanadeva, who broke the covering of the universe with so much effort. He really had to stretch his leg out there. Vamanadeva. And he didn't have to have hard nails like Nrisimhadeva's nails to tear apart the hard body of Hiranyakashipu. This rare display of power by Krishna, which does not contradict the sweetness of his childhood pastimes, shows the completeness of Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. So that's why they say that the Vrindavan displays the greatest Aishwarya of the Lord, because he displays the greatest feats of strength and endurance and power and grandeur, but it's all covered with sweetness. And other avatars or incarnations or forms of the Lord, they're not the actual. The acharyas say the greatest Aishwarya, the greatest opulence is actually Vrindavan. Vrindavan contains the greatest opulence. When Krishna is in the battle of Kurukshetra and he shows the Virata Rupa to Arjuna, Duryodhana, a few people saw the Virata Rupa Darshan on the battlefield and they were totally amazed. And Arjuna was cowering in fear and shivering and shaking and trembling, his voice was choked up. He said, "Please, Krishna, please don't show me this. I'm scared." Seeing all the soldiers rushing into the thousands and millions of mouths and getting crushed. So this was Aishwarya, display of fantastic vibhuti or opulence of the Lord. Viratru Darshan. But Krishna did so much more than that in Vrindavan, so that's why Vrindavan, all the Acharyas say that the greatest Aishwarya, the greatest opulence of the Lord is displayed in Vrindavan, which seems to be a paradox, because this is Madhurya, this is Madhurya Dham, the sweet Dham, Madhurya Mahi Krishna, saturated with sweetness, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, and this is a Dham saturated with sweetness. So how has Aishwarya come here? I thought Aishwarya is Vaikuntha and Narayan and Ram and all these other powerful avatars and incarnations. No, the Aishwarya aspect is that he also does all these amazing things here, but it's all in the context of being a little boy. He exerts no effort, no energy, and what is talk about Vratarup on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is considered such a grand display of opulence, opulence of the absolute. The chapter is called Opulence of the Absolute. And he display, or the universal form, in chapter 11 is called universal form. First, all these vibhutis are described. In chapter 10, opulence of the absolute. So many powers, and I am this of that, and this and that. And all his fantastic representations in the most powerful, extraordinary ways. And then the culmination, the grand finale, like when you have fireworks, they go ba 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 bam bam bam. And then at the end they have ba 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 ba. This is a grand finale of fireworks, of thousands of lights and sparks and stars and all colors and bing bang boom boom. So in the grand finale of Krishna's vibhuti is chapter 11, Viratarup Darshan. It's like, well, what you want to see some opulence? You want to see some vibhutis, Arjuna? Watch this, boom! Wow! What is this? A grand finale of fireworks here, Viratarup Darshan. Okay, that was one Viratarup. But what did Krishna show in Brahmanda Ghat at the age of 3? He's eating clay, or at least he was accused of eating clay. And Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth, and she saw thousands of Viratarups, millions of Viratarups. Krishna's universal form inside Krishna's mouth. He's like, oh, you want to see Viratarups? Okay. But when Krishna was on the chariot, it covered the whole sky, and everything was like the huge panoramic display, and everyone's heads were busting off. Their necks were all breaking off looking at the universal form. It's such a huge thing. Little boy goes, oh. Opens his mouth and Mother Yashoda looks in and sees all the stars. It says in the Bible, she saw all the stars and all the planets and all the avatars and all the Shivas, and she saw four-headed Brahmas and eight-headed Brahmas and 16-headed Brahmas and 1,000-headed Brahmas. Universe after universe after universe. In each universe there's an earth planet. In each universe there's Krishna on that planet in Vrindavan. And there's Yashoda looking in his mouth. So she saw Yashoda looking in his mouth and his mouth and his mouth and his mouth. Oh, no, 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 no. Like an endless echo. And then Krishna went, Unlimited Aishwarya, unlimited, but also sweet. Just a little 3-year-old boy opening his mouth, yawning. Me, I didn't eat any clay. You think I eat clay? Take a look. Oh. That is so many examples. But this is another example here. The rare display of power by Krishna, which does not contradict the sweetness of his childhood pastime, shows the completeness of Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. Absolute, unlimited Aishwarya, completely covered and hidden by absolute unlimited Madhurya. This is Sri Krishna Vrindavan. The cart turned upside down and utensils were made of gold and silver scattered everywhere. The wheels and axle fell apart and the steering pole broke. The Brahmanda Puran states that because a heavy demon entered the cart, the wheels sank in the earth and the cart's height decreased. Thus Krishna's short baby legs could touch the cart. Because the cart was quite high, and then the charpai was put under it, and Krishna was lying on it. So from where Krishna was lying on his back to the cart was quite a distance. Maybe 1 foot or 2 feet, don't know. High cart. So how is it possible? His legs are only a few inches long. He can't stretch his legs out. So Brahmanda Purana says that this heavy demon entering the cart, the cart settled down, became lower. So then it became just, and the reason it became lower because he wanted to crush Krishna, wanted to kill him. Trisva Yashoda Pramukha Vrajastriya Otani Ke Karmani Samagata Nandada Yashchadvuta Darshanakula Katam Swayambe Shakatam Piparyagat Advuta Darshan. Wonderful Darshan. Advuta Darshan of Krishna. Advuta Darshan. By seeing the wonderful calamity the heavily loaded cart had broken upon the small baby who still lay there, unhurt. When Mother Yashoda and other ladies who had assembled for the Uttan festival, and all the men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, saw the wonderful situation, Advuta Darshan, they began to wonder how the handcart had collapsed all by itself. They began to wander here and there trying to find the cause, but they were unable to do so. Nanda Yashoda and the other assembled women and guests became dismayed upon seeing that astonishing event. They asked, how could the cart fall apart on its own? Cart fall apart. Poetic. Yuchur avya avyavasita matin gopan gopishcha balaka hridatanena padena shiptam etan samshaya. All the coward ladies and men thought about what happened. Is this the work of some demon or an evil planet? Some small children present, they stated emphatically that the cart was kicked apart by baby Krishna. As soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart collapsed. There was no doubt about it. The Shakatasura was a ghost, Bhut, who had taken shelter of the handcart and was looking for an opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. When Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter was dismantled. This is all possible because Krishna has full potencies, whether he's a baby or whether he's an adult. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sarujvala vigrahasya Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna's body is Satchidananda Vigraha or Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. Any other parts of Krishna's body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna does not have to acquire these potencies, he already has them. Thus, Krishna kicked his little legs, and the whole purpose was fulfilled. When the handcart broke, an ordinary child would have incurred many injuries. But Krishna enjoyed dismantling the cart and nothing happened to him. Krishna enjoyed this whole event. By the arrangement of Yoga Maya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost. But everything was done by Krishna, actually, and enjoyed by him. Krishna's activities are on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Ras. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence. Sagunan Samatitya Tan. Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. Whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but he is on the transcendental spiritual platform. The children who had witnessed the event described it to the gopis, who could not discern what had happened. The gopis asked, is this the work of some demon or evil planets? Text 10. Nate shraddha dire gopa bala bashitam ityuta Aprameyam balam tasya balakasya nate vidu. The gopas and gopis, they were unaware that Krishna is unlimited. They could not believe that baby Krishna had such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children. Therefore, they neglected these statements as being childish. Rudantam sutamadaya yashoda graha shankita krita swastyayanam vipre shukte stanam apayayat. Thinking that a bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Yashoda had the brahmanas perform the swastiyayana ceremony of chanting mantras to ward off the demons. She chants some mantras to ward off sleep. Purvavat stapitam gopair balibisa parichadam vipra hutvar chayan chakrur tadyakshata kushambubi kusha ambu kushambu. After the strong, stout, coward men assembled the pots and paraphernalia in the handcart and set it up as it was before, the brahmanas did a ritual with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet, but there wasn't any bad planet. But brahmanas are always looking for an opportunity to make a little money. So they said, it must be some bad planet. And when you go to astrologers, they say, oh, you know, this thing happened here and there, you should buy this ring or do this special puja. So that when Yashoda asked them, oh, no, no, it must be some bad planet. Look, we can do a Homan Puja, which means they're going to get some donation, obviously. So Brahmins are very clever. Yashoda's very simple, village girl, innocent lady. So she said, oh yes, it must be a bad planet. Was it a bad planet? No. Was the Brahmins' rituals required? No. So they were good opportunists. They took advantage. And rice grains and kusha and water and curd. Yashoda had to buy all these things. The handcart was loaded with heavy utensils and other paraphernalia. It took a lot of strength to set it back in shape. The cart was repaired and placed in its original position by some strong coward men. This proves that the cart was very, very large. The coward men worshipped the cart because the cart was one of their main possessions, being the abode of Lakshmi and a storehouse of their accumulated wealth. So it says that they worship the cart. It's interesting. The coward men worshipped the cart because the cart was one of their main possessions, being the abode of Lakshmi and a storehouse of their accumulated wealth. Of course, they used the cart to deliver milk products and whatnot. So the cart is part of their livelihood. Like you see people, they get a new car and they do all kinds of puja and put a swastika on it, and because it's their livelihood or it's their means of transport. So the bullock cart or this cart, it's their abhira. They're called abhira. They're wandering vaishyas. They don't stay in one place. They're coward men. It's called braj. Braj means to move. The word braj means to wander, to move. So they're always wandering. Wherever the grass is green, they go there. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. So the coward men are always wandering here and there, wherever the green grass is. They were in Brihadvan or Mahavan. And then Upananda, he said, listen, we've done some of the spies and some of the coward men have been wandering around. And they just came back, they went across the Yamuna to Vrindavan. And they found there's so much grass is there, so much wonderful forest and the Govardhan Hill and very wonderful pasturing, wonderful grass and grazing places for the cows. Why don't we move there? And that's the primary reason to move. And the secondary reason is there's so many demons, Putana, Trinavarta, Shakadasura, coming over here to disturb the peace and ambience of our small hamlet and village. So hearing this advice of Upananda, as the elder brother of Nanda, they decided to move to Vrindavan. Then after being in Vrindavan, and they were in Chatikar, and then they came to Nandagaon. They went to Kamivan. They went here and there. So to move, that means they have, they have to have a cart. So the cart is very essential for them. It's like a trucking business. If you have a trucking business, what's essential to you? Your trucks. You don't have your trucks, you can't truck around. Can't keep on trucking. So they need the trucks. So they can't move. They move. They have their animals. They have their bulls and their cows with them. This mobile home, their carts, their bullock carts, or their mobile, they are their homes. Instead, when they moved to Chatikar, it's called Chatikar, that they made a Chatikar. They took their carts and they made like a half circle. Chatikar means like that. It means like Chatikar. They made like a half circle with all the bullock carts lined up together. And they closed the circle with all the bulls. The bulls and animals close the circle. In the middle of that circle was their village for 3 years, and they lived there in Chatikar, Nandabhava, and all the residents. So these carts are very essential. The verse is saying that these are their source of fortune, and all their accumulated fortune was also kept on the cart. Because it says the carts had gold pots and silver pots. This means their wealth. The wealth is measured in our stored gold. Like all the ladies have their lockers with all their bangles and necklaces locked in there somewhat so-called securely. And that's their accumulated wealth that they received in charity. Ladies' wealth. So the carts are very essential. That's their bank. The bank. They're carrying their wealth on the cart. And their means of livelihood, or their very fortune, depends on the cart. And then Krishna smashed it. Krishna broke it and said it was very big. So this gives you the idea, because the verse doesn't say it was a big cart, but this is called Parokshavad, indirect description. Just as Krishna kicked his legs up and kicked the cart. But it took the Balakam, the very, very strong men in the village, they were required to pick up the pieces of the cart and put it back together again. That means it's a big cart. And they had a lot of wealth. A lot of gold pots. And Krishna, that gives even more glories, or even describes more of the Aishwarya of Krishna, that the cart was so big and so heavy, and he just kicked it off. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki, Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol. Text 13 through 15. It's 12 o'clock. Hare Krishna. Jai Radhe. Hesun Yantra Dambersha Himsa Mana Vivarjita Natesham Satishilanam Ashisho Vifala Krita Hiti Balakamadaya Samarg Yajur Upakrite Jale Pavitro Shadibir Abhishichya Trichotame Vachiyatwa Swastyanam Nandagopa Samahita Hutva Chagnim Dvichatibhya Pradhad Anam Mahagunam. When Brahmins, now listen to this, this is a very important point. If you know the Bhagavatam, if you know this philosophy is a way of living, way of life, if you know the Bhagavatam, then you can have a very clear idea of reality. There's so much knowledge here. Listen very clearly, when brahmanas are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. This verse is, in other words, another way of saying this, this verse is explaining what qualities does a brahman need to give ashirvad, to give blessings. If you don't have these qualities, your blessings are useless. If you don't have these qualities, your curses are useless. Because what it means is you have no tapabalam. You have no tapabalam and you have no shakti. So in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, the Brahmins They don't have any of these qualities. They don't have any, practically speaking, across the board, free from envy, non-envious, always truthful, prideless, free from grudges, not disturbed by the wealth of others, no false prestige. Try to find a Brahmin like that. At least among the Panda section, it's very difficult. And the proof that they're disturbed by the opulence of others, that as soon as Brahmins get any money, they don't distribute it in charity, they buy opulent things. Brahmins are supposed to live very simply and be satisfied with Brahman, be satisfied with the realization of Bhagavan. Samadhamas Shopacham. Shantir Ajavam Evacha. Shantir Ajavam Evacha. They're supposed to be forbearing and shanti, peaceful. Oh, whatever Krishna's given us, fine. Oh, so much wealth is coming. I don't need it. Let me distribute it. But they're all crazy out there. Big cars and this and wealth and that. So many things. So this, considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful Brahmins to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Sama, Rig, and Yajurveda. While the hymns were being chanted, Nanda Maharaj bathed the child with herbs and performed a fire sacrifice. He sumptuously fed all the Brahmanas with first-class grains and other food. Nanda Maharaj was very confident about the qualifications of the Brahmanas and their blessings. He was fully confident that simply if the good Brahmanas showered their blessings, the child would be happy. The blessings of qualified Brahmanas can bring happiness not only to Krishna, but to everyone. Because Krishna is self-sufficient, he doesn't need anyone's blessings. Yet Nanda thought that Krishna required the blessings of the Brahmanas. What can be said of others, of us? In human society, there must be an ideal class of men, Brahmanas, who can bestow blessings upon others. They can bestow blessings upon the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras so that everyone will be happy. Nanda Maharaj invited qualified Brahmanas. There may be caste Brahmanas, and we have all respect for them, but their birth in Brahmana families does not mean that they are qualified to bestow blessings upon the other members of human society. This is the verdict of the Shastras. If they don't have the qualities, then they have no power or ability to give blessings, nor to curse. In Kali Yuga, caste Brahmanas, means Brahman by birth, are accepted as Brahmanas. Simply by putting on a two-piece thread, one becomes a Brahmana. Such Brahmanas were not called by Nanda Maharaj. He didn't call any dope-piece Brahmins. The symptoms of a Brahman are stated in Shastra, and one must be qualified with these symptoms. The blessings of Brahmanas who are not envious, disturbed, or puffed up with pride and false prestige, and who are fully qualified with truthfulness, will be useful. Therefore, a class of men must be trained as Brahmanas from the very beginning. With the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to introduce such Brahmanas in society. Brahmanas must ultimately be Vaishnavas, and if one is a Vaishnava, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmana. One who is a Brahman is always happy. He is ready to bestow blessings upon everyone equally. The verse mentions Pavitra Oshadi. And wherever there's a ritual performed, certain herbs are required. Pure leaves like neem leaves, bale leaves, mango leaves, ashwat leaves, amalaki leaves. And there was Panchagavya, Panchashashya, and Pancharatna. Although Nanda Maharaj belonged to the Vaishya community, he knew all about these things. Let's see what Vishnu says here. Gava sarva guno peta vasa shragrukma malini atma jab yuda yartaya pradatte chan vayunjata. Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the affluence of his own son, Krishna, gave the Brahmanas cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. The cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, were given to Brahmanas in charity, and the Brahmanas accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, especially Krishna. The cows are very beautifully decorated. Must be a beautiful sight to behold, to see such cows. Imagine, have you ever seen a cow like that? Garments, blankets over their back, flower garlands and gold necklaces. Beautiful. Vipra mantra vido yuktas terya proktas tatashisa tanishvala bhavishyanti nakadachit apisputam. The brahmanas who were completely expert in chanting Vedic hymns were all yogis, fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly never fruitless. Brahmanas fully equipped with the brahminical qualifications are always yogis, fully powerful in mystic yoga. Their words never fail. Haribo, what's it called? Satyavacham or something? Satyavacham. Because in this age, let's see, what's he saying? In this age, however, one must take into account that the Brahmins are uncertain in their qualifications. We don't know. Because there are no yogic Brahmins in Kali Yuga, all yogis are forbidden. The only yogi recommended in this age is Satkirtan Yogya. Yogya Sankirtana, Yogya Sankirtana Priyara Yajantihi Samenisha. Yagya is meant to satisfy Vishnu. Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanat. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmins, people should perform yagya by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Life is meant for yagya, and yagya is performed by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus concludes the story of Krishna killing the Shakatasura, or let's say, liberating the Shakatasura demon from the cart. Very beautiful pastime. In Krishna Samhita and in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes about these different demons, who they represent. And the Shakatas, they represent different obstacles and anarthas to Braj Bhakti and Braj Bhajan. Shakatasura, he represents the smashing of old and new bad habits, laziness and vanity. Shakatasura represents load bearing produced by old and new bad habits and philosophy. The mood created by meditating on baby Krishna as he breaks the cart, the tendency to carry on with bad habits such as lethargy. There was the mood created by meditating as he breaks the cart to remove this. The tendency to carry on with bad habits such as lethargy and dullness accumulated from this and past lives. This is removed by reading this pastime of Shakatasura and remembering this pastime and praying to Krishna that my body is like a bullock cart. My mind is like a bullock cart, Shakat. And there's one big demon there sitting on the bullock cart of my mind. And what is that demon? There are many demons. A demon of dullness, the demon of laziness, whatever our bad habits are, procrastination. Procrastinate means putting off. Oh, I should chant my rounds early in the morning, but then I end up doing them late at night or whenever. Whatever service we have to do, we put off, we procrastinate, or whatever our personal bad habits. We take too many snacks. or we take snacks at all. We should eat at regulated times, Krishna prasadam, and not between meals. We're not really hungry. We don't need to eat. But we have a habit. We have a bad habit of nibbling or taking snacks here and there. Some little crackers or this, that, the other thing. Rather than eating. So we just eat whenever we feel like it. Well, that's a bad habit. It's not regulation. It's not nishta. Just so I'm agitated. Basically, there's agitation. It's pushing. Vacha vegam, manasa kruta vegam. It's a pushing of the tongue and the mind. Satisfaction. Because one is not relishing the inner satisfaction of Krishna bhakti. So then he's pushed it. A little nibble here, a little bite there, a little drink here, a little drink there. So consequently, all day long, we're just consuming food and drink. Because we're not controlled. Vachu vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vedam. This is step one. Upadeshamrita, step one, the first order, Upadeshamrita. Control the tongue. So it's a bad habit, and we have to examine individually what our bad habits are. Tendency to be angry or whatever. This is weight. It's like a heavy weight. Like this cart had all this weight on it. Well, it had the main weight was the weight of the ghost, the demon. So Krishna kicked it. Boom, get out. Get out. You're trying to crush me? You're trying to crush me with this heavy... You entered this cart, you're trying to crush me, baby Krishna? So these bad habits are like demons trying to crush the baby of bhakti in our heart. The baby of bhakti is bhakti lata beach. Ramande brahmadekon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi pai bhakti lata beach. Bhakti is like a baby, tender creeper lata, bhakti lata. So this bhakti is crushed by our bad habits. It crushes our bhakti, our bad habits, our inability to control our mind, our inability to control our tongue. Eating and speaking nonsense. Speaking nonsense is a big one. If we're eating uncontrolled, then we speak uncontrolled. They go parallel. Uncontrolled tongue and uncontrolled belly, like this. So if this is a problem, represents load-bearing or wrong philosophies or bad habits and philosophies, represents smashing of old and new bad habits. Old bad habits means habits we've had for years or habits we've had for lifetimes. We may be carrying over habits from lifetimes. And then new bad habits. Then we pick up some new habits as the years go on. We're born with certain habits from Purva Janam. But then we develop. Habit becomes second nature, they say. So laziness and vanity, and pride, Krishna, these things are heavy. These are heavy weights. They're like the heavy ghost crushing the cart, crushing heavy. The heavy ghost entered into the cart, and then he was making that cart very heavy to crush Krishna. So these bad habits, they enter into our mind, into our heart, and then they weigh down very heavily on our mind and heart and crush the baby of bhakti. The baby of Krishna Bhakti gets crushed. He's getting crushed. So we read this pastime from Krishna book and we pray to Krishna, please kick out the demons. Come in my heart and kick what they say. Kick out these demons. Kick out these bad habits, Krishna. It's very nice. All these demons killed by Krishna, they represent Anarthas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given this analysis. These are 20 obstacles to Braj Bhakti, the Krishna Bhakti. Daigor Srimad Bhagavatam Aki Jaya.